Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lorat. Well, today we'll talk about yesterday's vote to impeach President Trump. We'll also talk about the security precautions that are being taken ahead of next week's inauguration of Joe Biden. And we'll hear from a lot of listeners as the hour goes on. So stick around. Should be interesting. These programs are where people in the Tampa Bay area can talk about their ideas and concerns. First, two listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we were talking about the impeachment debate. And after the show, these two comments came in. Let's listen back to them.
Hi, this is Rick from Tampa. There's been a lot of mincing words, it seems to me, lately about whether we should go down the route of 25th Amendment or impeachment or Tom Reed's interview yesterday with Judy Woodruff suggesting censure. I don't know if any of these are just slaps on the wrist, but it's clear that Trump is unfit to lead or to serve in this sort of a society. It's not that he's unfit. He could certainly lead in certain other countries, particularly oligarchies and despotic regimes, but in this society, he's unfit. So whatever you call it, 25th Amendment or censure or impeachment, I think it needs to be spelled out that the censure is strong enough that Trump will not be able to get into power again in this country. And I think Tom Reed, if he's suggesting censure, is just a little slap on the wrist. Well, Tom Reed is representing a faction that really is not interested in the sort of society that we envision for America since the beginning.
My name's Tom. I'm in Bradenton. I'm originally from Washington, D.C., and I'm 58 years old, and I studied architecture in college and have done a lot of architectural work in my life. And I was watching Don Lemon's show last night on CNN, and he had a new video of someone saying, it was a woman's voice saying, you have windows to the right of you that will lead to this corridor, etc. I really do believe that some of the Republicans did give tours to some people, and I think somehow this woman was either an engineer or an architect. She knew an awful lot about buildings. So I think the story is far from over. I think it was really good that they impeached Donald Trump for the midterms and also to make D.C. a state. That's where I'm from. I'm proud to be from D.C.
A couple of listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. This is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM, and we're going to take your phone calls live today, too, at 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. I just want to present some news that we didn't hear just a moment ago on the NPR news. And this is about the threat to the impeachment. National Guard units are being told to prepare for the possibility that improvised explosive devices will be used by individuals plotting to attack the Capitol in the days surrounding the inauguration, according to two guardsmen who were briefed this week. And I'm reading this from politico.com. The briefings indicate that Washington, D.C. area law enforcement believe the IEDs planted last week at the Republican National Committee and the Democratic National Committee headquarters were not an isolated incident. The individual who planted those bombs has yet to be apprehended, and FBI agents have been going door to door in D.C. this week asking residents for any photos or video they might have that could help identify the suspect, two of the residents told Politico. In addition to the IED threat, the guardsmen are being briefed that protesters could be heavily armed. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy has authorized the National Guardsmen protecting the Capitol, previously only carrying protective gear, to carry lethal weapons, including the M9 handguns. A significant majority of soldiers are also carrying M4 rifles, one of the guardsmen said. So that's from Politico about the attention that's going on right now in Washington, D.C. And state capitals across the nation, state capitol buildings across the nation, I'm reading this from Yahoo, including in Austin, Texas, where lawmakers carried weapons, called in the National Guard, and erected barricades over fears that far-right groups and President Trump supporters were plotting a second wave of uprisings after last week's storming of Congress. An FBI warning of armed protests planted all 50 statehouses and at the U.S. Capitol in the days leading up to President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration January 20th has brought out SWAT teams and extra law enforcement officers dressed in camouflage helmets, face shields, and bulletproof vests. The high alert unearthed an America that has, over the last 7 days, been shaken by disturbing images, representatives fleeing a violent mob breaking into the U.S. Capitol, the impeachment for the second time of an increasingly reviled president, and scenes of rage, tears, and threats playing out at airports and on city streets that underscore a dangerous political divide. That's from Yahoo News, and you can see both those stories I just read online. Well, no doubt the tension has not gone away. And we are headed for the inauguration next Wednesday. And I want to talk a little bit about where this tension came from and where we're going, and talk a little bit about the impeachment vote, too. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. You can also email us here in the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. Stephen writes this: listening to Republicans defend January 6th, false equivalents are used as justification, deny accountability, accuse the accusers, they exploit our lack of critical thinking, and with many of Trump's appointed cabinet resigning, maybe he is draining the swamp, writes Steve in Tampa. That's his thought. And let's listen to a little bit. Where did all this anger come from? Who incited all this anger that we're experiencing right now? What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's listen to, and this is I took this from the Daily Show last night. They compiled some of what has been said over the past month by the president and his supporters and the media that supports him in a very strong way. So where did the anger come from? Well, let's listen to this right now on 88.5 FM.
General George Washington's soldiers were freezing cold, fighting for independence against tyranny, domination, and control. It was their moment to stand up and fight for freedom. To many, January 6th is such a moment.
The battle for the White House is now a full-fledged struggle for the survival of this constitutional republic.
We, the people, are in control of the United States, and we will take our rights back.
74 million Americans are not going to shut up.
This is about taking a stand where you can take a stand.
We need to fight back. We win because of our ideas. We lose elections because they cheat us.
We're going to keep fighting until every illegal vote is thrown out.
They rigged the election in front of all of us, and nobody did anything about it.
Call your congressman and feel free. You can lightly threaten them.
If you don't start supporting election integrity, I'm coming after you. Madison Cawthorn's coming after you. Everybody's coming after you.
We're not timid folk. We're people who understand when there's a challenge in front of us, we rise to the challenge. We fight, finish, keep.
It is time to stand and fight.
The swamp isn't truly drained until we've nailed the hides of the alligators to the wall.
We need to fight back. We need to strike at the heart of their power. We need to show that the next revolution is just getting started.
The ruling would be that you got to go to the streets and be as violent as Antifa and BLM.
Will we stand up for freedom as Samuel Adams and his fellow patriots did?
If we don't fight on January 6th on the floor of the Senate and the House, that is the joint meeting of Congress, on these electors, we're done. It's time for everybody to stand up and be heard.
President Trump won this election, so everyone who's listening, do not be quiet. We cannot allow this to happen before our very eyes.
Liberty-loving patriots that will not let them steal this election.
We have to fight this out for the American people.
This is our 1776 moment.
Get it right. They stole it.
Right.
We need to take it back for the people.
It's time for conservatives to show that backbone.
Republicans, grow a backbone and fight.
We are in this fight to the bitter end. We are going to take our country back.
We need to march on the Capitol today, and we need to stand up for this country.
We're fighting for the future of this country.
We're going to keep fighting. I implore you to keep fighting, too.
Freedom isn't cheap. But you know what? Imagine this. Did you get go back home once you conquer the hill?
Patriots here ready to fight certainly have the back of the president.
If you're going to be the zero and not the hero, we're coming for you, and we're going to have a good time doing it. Don't be suppressed. Don't be putting your corner.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will defend liberty.
Today is the day American patriots start taking down names and kicking ass.
Let's have trial by combat.
They're not taking this White House. We're going to fight like hell, I'll tell you right now. We're going to the Capitol. You'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength. And we're going to have to fight much harder. We fight like hell. And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
So how did we get to the point where National Guardsmen, 20,000, are in Washington, D.C., defending our nation's capital, the very heart of our democracy? How did we get to this point? Who stirred up the anger? Well, we just heard from a supercut from the Daily Show, and that was President Trump, Louis Gohmert, Rudy Giuliani, Matt Gaetz, and a whole host of Fox personalities and commentators, Mark Levin, the radio commentator, all there screaming to take back the country in a very militant, and I think it's fair to say, bordering on violence, bordering on a call for violence. What do you think? Am I overstating it? The number to call, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. That we heard the president there at the end. During his campaign, he predicted that the election would be stolen and made the comments over and over again. And then finally on January 6th, on the morning of January 6th, at the rally that eventually marched toward the Capitol building and assaulted the Capitol and stormed it and invaded it, the president really urged the group to really be... to do a show of force.
But they're saying so, holding him accountable is different from the people who directly were involved in tearing down the doors and rampaging
PBS, the
Capitol
week,
building.
Congressman Eric Swalwell.
Well, Osama bin Laden did not enter U.S. soil on September 11, but it was widely acknowledged that he was responsible for inspiring the attack on our country. And the president, with his words, using the words fight, with the speakers that he assembled that day who called for trial by combat and said we have to take names and kick ass, that is hate speech that inspired and radicalized people to storm the Capitol. And when you read the indictments from the U.S. Attorney's Office of people who've been arrested, in their FBI interviews, they cite that they were called there by the president. They were in the Capitol because the president told them to do so. So we must hold this president accountable for his inciting words.
Are you comparing President Trump to Osama bin Laden?
I'm comparing the words of a individual who would incite and radicalize somebody as Osama bin Laden did to what President Trump did. You don't actually have to commit the violence yourself, but if you call others to violence, that itself is a crime.
Congressman Eric Swalwell, earlier this week on the PBS NewsHour, talking about how the president used the kind of same tactics, he says, as Osama bin Laden to fire people up to be angry and assault the U.S. Capitol. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Sean in St. Petersburg. Sean, thank you for calling. Thanks for being the first caller today. What would you like to comment about so far?
Well, you know, I'd like to give a view from the other side. You know, a note to the colorful gun-toting fascists that stormed our democracy at the behest of their new Hitler. You have set your sights on women and old men as you prepare to assault citadels of our republic. You assume your only adversaries are the authorities. I believe I speak for my fellow Marines and over 300 million Americans when I tell you to get your Nazi behinds out of our country and take the Fuhrer with you. We may not be as colorful, but we are better armed, smarter, and thoroughly pissed. I just think we need to come up on our side with another view of what's going on rather than continuing to take this, we're going to bring our guns and pipe bombs and everything else. They should know that there are other people on the other side that are absolutely outraged by what has happened.
All right, Sean, thank you. Thank you for that. And I think that the big question is, how do we tone things down? I mean, I mentioned the story at the top of the hour that in Washington, D.C., National Guard units are being told to prepare for possible improvised explosive devices that will be used by individuals plotting to attack the Capitol in the days surrounding the inauguration, according to two guardsmen briefed this week. Now, I read this from Politico. But how do we tone this down? I mean, you know, you've heard what the Fox people said. You heard what the president's people said. You heard what the president himself said. But how do we tone it down? I don't think anybody in the country wants to see the country go in this direction. So what do we do? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Nav in Tampa. Nav, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Rob. I think Trump and Biden are just two men representing deep currents in America under the water. And, you know, protests and people that protest violently, those are the voices of the unheard. Whether it's Black Lives Matter, who feel unheard and they make their statements on the streets, or whether it's, you know, working class whites who felt unheard.
Nev, if I could just interject for a second, you know, police persons were arrested. People who were ex-military, who were on pensions, were arrested. Legislators were arrested. You know, we're not talking about working class whites. One guy said, "I own a business and I'm taking the day off from work." I mean, if you work at Walmart, you can't take the day off from work and just drive up to Washington, D.C. and storm the Capitol. This was a pretty well-armed group of people that had resources. I don't think this was the working class. This was the privileged upper middle class, I think, that was trying to. And you really think that the privileged upper middle class is not heard by members of Congress? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, and Rob, to your point, you are right. I didn't mean to imply that, you know, everyone at that march was, you know, sort of working class whites, because that's not true. There were other groups of people. But the point I was trying to get at, on both sides of the political divide, it just seems to me that our politics are not meeting the average citizen. It's just, I think both Republicans and Democrats cater to special interests, to big money. Like, it's surprising to me that big tech, Wall Street, are so behind the Biden administration, where Democrats are supposed to be for the working class people. So there's really no political party that's representing the average guy on the street, irregardless of that person's race or background. And I think that is a fundamental failure of our two-party system. And the solution is maybe a third party or some. Right now, this dualmonopoly is not working. And I don't think Biden's a solution. I think he's just got all the old people from the Obama administration. They're all multimillionaires. Biden is getting guys from Wall Street into the administration. Biden is getting top tech executives from Silicon Valley into the administration. Who's going to take care of the common man? And that's why there's so much anger in this country.
Yeah. All right, Nev, thanks a lot. You know, I think if you were to match the wealth of the Trump cabinet to the Biden cabinet so far, Trump's cabinet would be far wealthier than Biden's cabinet.
But they're both wealthy. I take your point.
I mean, I think that if you do work hard for a living and you're making $8, $9, $10, $11, $12 an hour and you're not getting ahead, you don't hear either party talking much on your behalf. So, Nav, thanks a lot. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Joshua in Bradenton. Hey, Joshua, you're on MNF. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I think there are a few things that personally I think that is responsible for a whole lot of this. One of them is the fact that with all that happened, people are not talking about the role that Russia is playing behind the scenes. You know, ever since, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, ever since the USSR fell, Russia has had that jealousy, you know, to see that America falls, you know, the United States of America. And they've been trying all they can. And I think somehow whether people believe me or not, which I really don't care. This man is a Manchurian candidate. that I think that they've used, a guy that stood behind this dictator who's been in power almost since 2000 or so in Russia, and he stood behind him, and then this same guy was criticizing his own agency, CIA, FBI, everybody. He was so rude that you know, it was so hard to watch. Now, the second point that I have to make is this. There's also this issue of white supremacy. I think these are the two fundamental things that are behind what is going on. And thank God that America finally woke up and said enough is enough. I mean, it's not over, because we still have to get those people that are behind him out of power. Those that do not respect the constitution of this country. And especially also, let me mention this. It's unfortunate that the religious leaders that we're supposed to depend on, who are supposed to at least stand neutral, these people were backing this man, knowing what this guy has done, whether he's in Atlantic City or in New York or every other place that he's done. He's a green reaper. And thank God, finally we woke up and say enough is enough.
All right, Joshua, thanks a lot. Thanks for making the comments. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, great to hear from you. I don't watch it that much, but when I watch the religious television networks, they're all pro-Trump. I can't find a religious television network that is moderate or mainstream or liberal. 813-239-9663. Well, President Trump's impeachment trial could begin at 1 p.m., on Inauguration Day. That's next Wednesday, as President-elect Joe Biden is being sworn into office. That's according to a timeline of Senate procedure obtained by the AP. It's the possible schedule if House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sends the articles of impeachment to the Senate soon. Trump was impeached by the House yesterday on a single charge of incitement to insurrection related to the deadly Capitol siege last week by the pro-Trump mob. Pelosi hasn't said when she'll send the charge to the Senate. Some Democrats have suggested holding back to allow Biden time to be inaugurated and start working his first priorities. But we'll see when that happens. Let's listen to just a little bit, and this is from the Tampa Bay Times website. This is what the protesters themselves said about why they were storming the Capitol. Why did the protesters storm the Capitol? Let's listen in their own words. So that was outside the U.S. Capitol last week as people were trying to break into the U.S. Capitol, and reporters asked them, why are you here? Why are you trying to break in? And that guy said, well, we were invited here by the President of the United States. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Gus in Tampa. Hey, Gus, you're on MNF. What would you like to say? Hi, Gus. You're live. What would you like to say?
I'm just, you know, thinking about this and this thing at the United States Capitol, and you know, it was all riled up by Trump saying this big lie that this election was stolen. You know, it was not stolen. It's just that more black people, more people of color voted. More people of color had the opportunity to vote, and so they were. That's why they lost, you know. And Trump's such a butthole that he incited more people to vote. You know, he brought this on himself. And then the thing at the Capitol about Trump is all a ruse for the white supremacists to come in and say, okay, we're going to back Trump, and now we're going to keep it because now we're scared that more minorities are going to get in office, are going to be in power, or are going to start to get an opportunity to do some things they never had the opportunity to do before.
I think you make two really great points. And Gus, thanks a lot. Thanks for making them.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. You know, last week, it lost in everything that happened on January 6th. Lost in everything that happened was the Georgia Senate race. And if you look at some of the reporting out of Georgia about why Democrats won those two U.S. Senate seats last week, Republican operatives and legislators and politicians were asked in Georgia, what fired up the Democratic base? Why did the Democrats come out in such big numbers? And I don't have the quote in front of me. I'll try to dig it up quickly. But one of the legislators said, Trump fires up the other side. So I think that coincides with Gus's point right there. Gus, thank you very much for making the point. 813-239-9663. Well, yesterday there was a debate in the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. about whether or not President Trump ought to be impeached for the second time. We're going to hear two sides, very short. We're going to hear Ken Buck, who's a congressman from Colorado, first. This is why he opposed the impeachment of President Trump.
And then the socialists in Hollywood joined their allies in Congress. Robert De Niro said that he wanted to punch the president in the face. Madonna thought about blowing up the White House. Kathy Lee Griffin held up a likeness of the president's beheaded head. And nothing was said by my colleagues at that point in time. In fact, one Democrat colleague said that Trump supporters should be harassed wherever they are, in restaurants, on the street, in supermarkets. During this time, the president was under investigation by a special counsel who found no collusion, no conspiracy with Russia. The president's supporters were harassed. Ajit Pai, the head of the FCC, was called a dirty, sneaky Indian. His children were harassed in school. The press secretary, the press secretary, Sarah Sanders, was kicked out of a restaurant for being a Trump employee. The DHS secretary, Kirsten Nelson, harassed at her home.
All right, so that was Congressman Ken Buck.
Today.
Hold on.
We must go.
That was Congressman Ken Buck of Colorado yesterday, a Republican, who was giving the reasons why he was not going to vote for impeachment, citing Robert De Niro and citing harassment of Trump supporters and citing of that photo of President Trump being beheaded. And that's the reason why he was not going to vote for impeachment, because essentially he was saying the other side has done the same thing. Now, we had an invasion of the Capitol by people who, some of whom were armed, on January 6th. And we have Robert De Niro wanting to punch the president. Which is worse? 813-239-9663. Let's go to a second speech we're going to hear, just a short speech. This is James Clyburn, the Democrat from South Carolina, why impeachment should happen.
To Nelson, harassed by her home.
All right, that's the end of Buck. Here is Congressman Clyburn.
Today, we must do our constitutional duty once again. While the president failed in his attempt to upend our democracy last Wednesday's events, make clear that if we do not hold him accountable and remove him from power, a future attempt could very well be successful. The survival of our democracy depends on defeated candidates accepting their defeats, as has been the case in every president's election since 1864. Our January 6th joint session is a vital part of the transfer of power, not the contest for power. Vice President Gore understood this, accepting and certifying the 2000 election result in which he was defeated. Vice President Biden understood this, accepted and certifying this president's victory in the 2016 election. This president's refusal to participate in the peaceful transfer of power and his role in the inciting of the last week's violence posed an existential threat to our constitutional democracy. This threat must be extinguished immediately. This president must be impeached and convicted, and he must be prevented from ever attempting to seize power again. With that, I'll yield back.
Gentlemen,
South Carolina's James Clyburn, a Democrat, speaking yesterday on the floor of the House in favor of impeachment. And you're listening to 88.5 FM, where people from all over the Tampa Bay area, from Sarasota and Manatee County and Polk County and Citrus and Hernando and Pasco and Pinellas and Hillsborough County, get a chance to talk back on the important topics. And it is a local show. Hope you like it. This is Radioactivity. And let's take another phone call. We're going to go to Ted in Elfers. Ted, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. Great show, as always. A couple of things that I've been thinking about are, one, both political parties are private corporations or companies, if I'm not mistaken. There's no public recourse. Like, if you don't like the Democratic Party, what do you go to, the Republican Party? You know, independents and MPAs choose to stay out of both parties because of the problems that both incur with their being beholden to corporations and moneyed interests. So that's number one. Number two is, when people say, oh, well, we need to get back to healing, we need to step back from the edge and slow down with the vitriol and the anger. And yes, we do need to do that, but we need to do that after we quell the uprising, after we stop the insurrectionists from feeling like they have the power and the ability to go wherever they want and do whatever they want. I had a 70-plus-year-old man threaten to fight me, wanted to go outside and fight me because I was having a conversation with somebody else about his president, and he was upset about what I was saying. And he's, you know, going on and on about how he's a veteran and this and that, and I'm like, well, now you're, you know, you want to quash my First Amendment right, but, you know, you say you're upholding the Constitution, but everything you're doing speaks to the opposite of that. Your actions say you don't want to hold up the Constitution while you're saying, I'm a constitutionalist. No, you're not. Thanks, Rob. I'll get off the air.
All right, Ted, thanks a lot. I think the question is, how do we tone things down, and how do we stick to the facts? How do we make sure that we're operating on facts and not operating on the kinds of misinformation that you might get from some networks and some AM stations? How do we do that? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Richard in St. Pete. Richard, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Yes, well, I'm looking at last week with the violence and the coordination, so on and so forth. And I'm thinking back, going through history, the Whiskey Rebellion and James Brown taking over the armory in Virginia with, you know, the insurrectionist Whiskey Rebellion, to where they didn't want to be taxed for making whiskey by the federal government back in the 18th century, I believe. And both ended with a lot of deaths, a lot of violence, which was quite sad. And we're looking at the exact same issue here. And it was all incited by a small group of individuals. But also, you had a previous caller made a comment about the big donors to the Democratic Party. But you know, Walmart, well, Citibank recently announced that they're not going to donate to any party either anymore for 90 days. Both these large corporations, they play both sides against the middle. They donate to both. Because they've got their own.
You know, I'd have to look that up. I'm pretty sure that the large corporations, for the most part, lean Republican. And
they do, but they will go ahead and support the Democratic Party.
Well, if the Democratic Party's in charge of that body that they're trying to influence, yes. But by and large, in Congress, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I apologize, but if you look at the big moneyed interests, especially corporations, they like low wages. They like workers that are on edge, that feel like you know, they don't have any skin in the game. They don't like unions. So the Democratic Party, with all its faults, tends to lean towards a higher minimum wage. Tends to lean towards unions in a way that the Republican Party does not.
Yes, and those are excellent points, and I totally agree with those. But I do expect there's going to be a lot of problems on Wednesday and this Sunday.
Well, let's hope not. All right, Richard,
yeah,
thanks a lot.
I prefer not to.
Yeah, and James Brown thanks you, but it was John Brown.
John Brown, sorry.
No, it's okay. I love James Brown. All right.
So do I, but it was the wrong Brown. All right, thanks.
Yeah, bye. Thanks, Richard. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Fran in Largo. Fran, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Thank you, Rob. This isn't what I originally wanted to talk about, but let's not forget about how the NRA for years stoked this.
Well, the NRA paid for the protests, helped pay, you know, if you look at that list of corporations and entities that paid for the protests January 6th, the NRA was on that list.
Well, yes. I had a family member that was under their spell for years. Thank God he isn't anymore. But we constantly got things in the mail, flyers and letters and things, and every Democrat you could think of, every liberal you could think of was demonized. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Michael Moore, anybody. They were the enemy. And, horrible pictures of them and saying horrible things about them. Always wanting money. Always wanting 10, 20, 50 bucks, whatever they wanted. But they are very, very guilty.
And what about that video that the NRA put out about a year ago that predicted anarchy if Democrats win elections? And we've got anarchy right now in Washington, D.C., and we've got a crackdown, a military crackdown, but it wasn't brought on by liberals or Michael Moore. It was brought on by the crazy people that believe Fox News.
That's right. That's right. So I hold the NRA just as accountable as anything else in this whole horrible thing that's going on. And the thing I wanted to talk about was it's time to rename the White House, quote-unquote White House, the way, they're taking down these Confederate statues and the Confederate flag and everything. I mean, just make it more inclusive. That's just something that people don't really think about. It's subconsciously, though, you're thinking, the White House. It's just an idea of mine. I don't know whether anything will happen, but maybe it's a good idea.
Okay. What would you call it, Fran? The People's House?
I can't. Pardon me?
The People's House?
Yeah, something like that. Or, if anybody can think of anything really good, something better than the White House.
All right, Fran, thanks a lot. Thank you for raising the issue. Dennis in Oldsmar writes, on today's Bay News 9, during the video of Trump's request for calm, no violence, etc., there was the admission of it's hurting our movement and our country. So is Trump finally admitting that there are only good people on his side and that he has been aligned with all the far-right basket of deplorables all along? He can't leave soon enough or go far enough away to make me happy, writes Dennis. And thank you. We have a bunch of emails. I'm going to try to read some right now. Jerome writes, in my opinion, the public rise of this current division started with the birther movement. Who made that a false public outcry? Yeah, think of all the things that turned out not to be right when the Tea Party and the birther movement were around. And they spurred people to anger. I mean, I was at a demonstration by conservative Republicans against Kathy Castor, the congresswoman, when she was describing at a meeting in Ybor City what was going to happen with Obamacare. And I was among the crowd outside who were chanting and protesting, trying to stop the meeting down. And they were all predicting that there would be a government takeover of healthcare and that there would be old people going before death panels and killed. Well, somebody was ginning that up. Somebody knew that that was wrong, but they knew how to press people's buttons. And so you had, maybe 100 people or 150 people out there, and they had signs and were pretty militant, and they invaded the room and tried to shut down the meeting. And that we've got Obamacare. It's really not my favorite thing, but we've got it. More people have health care, and we don't have death panels. 813-239-9663. Greg writes this, gaslighting is used to describe abusive behavior, specifically when an abuser manipulates information in such a way as to make a victim question his or her sanity. Gaslighting intentionally makes someone doubt their memories or perception of reality, writes Greg. I guess Greg is suggesting that gaslighting is going on. All right, thank you, Greg. And then Mark writes this, these right-wingers keep talking about taking back our country. What I would like to know is who or what do they feel they need to take back our country from? That's a really good question. Who, which group that's in charge right now would they like to remove? They call it the deep state, but they think that anybody that disagrees with President Trump is part of the deep state. So that's really not a good definition. Let's go to Richard in Tampa. Richard, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Thank you for taking my call, Rob. You've taught me a lot for me listening to your show for a couple years, and you've taught me that violence doesn't solve anything. And I believe in the Constitution. I believe in our democracy. And you have to have faith. You have to have faith in that. You have to have faith in God. You can't always trust in men because men are evil. But there's a lot of goodness and there's a lot of good people out there. And we're going to heal and we're going to come together. As far as corporations go, corporations have way too much power and they have way too much political influence in our democracy. I watched a movie this morning. It's called Rollerball. Okay, and it talks about there was wars and then there was three nations left. And then the corporations took over, and there were corporate wars. And then the corporations, there was always a rich hierarchy of people. And there was nothing, and there was no violence. And the only violence was the rollerball. And everybody cheered on people being killed in the arena, skating around in the ring. James Caan was the star of the movie. And it's amazing how back in the 70s, they predicted these things. And these things are coming to pass. So the insight that people have in how everything is cyclic in the universe and things come around, it's amazing.
Yeah, there is some great science fiction from the last five decades. All right, Richard, thanks a lot. Thanks for the phone call. Good to hear from you. And let's go to Jeannie in St. Petersburg. Hey, Jeannie, you're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Yeah, hey, Rob. Thanks for putting me on. I want to let you know I really enjoy your show. It really gets me thinking. And I just wanted to say that there is one good thing, at least for me, that President Donald Trump has done, and that's been to get me to look up terms like fascism and look up terms like racist. When people said he was a racist, I looked up, what is a racist? What has he said? Fascism, I've looked up insurrection. I've looked up sedition. It's been quite an education for me, things that I haven't thought of since I was in civics in ninth grade.
That's true. I mean, I think in order to keep a democracy, you have to be vigilant and you have to think about these issues. Hopefully, we don't have to think about them all the time, but from time to time, and especially emergency times like now, we should be thinking about them. And does the president represent fascism? And did those people that tried to use the battering ram to enter the Capitol last week and the people that killed the police officer and were looking to string up Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence, does that represent fascism? I think you and I might agree on the answer.
I've been guilty of taking an awful lot for granted about our democracy, and if nothing else, this has been a wake-up call.
Jeannie, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. To Richard's point, too, I'm constantly surprised that now we hear Republicans complaining about corporate power. Because for years, especially when corporations were giving Republicans most of the campaign money, they never complained about corporate power. Now, suddenly, they pulled out a few corporations that they're upset at. Environmentalists might be upset at the power of oil companies. People that work hard for a living might be upset at the low wages paid by Walmart or McDonald's or others. Well, Republicans are upset at President Trump's free speech rights on Twitter and Facebook. Well, I'm glad they're beginning to recognize the power of corporations, but it's not just one corporation that's powerful or two. It's not just the social media giants that are powerful. It's the entire panoply of corporations, including those that control military production. These are the ones that really control Congress. They give most of the money. That's how people get reelected to Congress. And if there was some curbs on that corporate power and that ability to contribute to campaigns, we might see a different country. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Denise and Sefner. Denise, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I just want to thank you for being such a calm and considerate, thoughtful voice during this difficult time. And I just wanted to bring up that I have not heard much in the way of that had President Obama done anything even close to this and not been the tremendously dignified gentleman that he is, that the right, you know, would have just been up in arms. I also wanted to mention that I was truly disappointed that from the House floor that many Republicans cited the violence and disruption that happened over the summer over the Black Lives Matter protest, that that was somehow a Democratic movement. That is not a Democratic movement. That's a social movement. And these things are not attached to a single party.
Yeah. Well, and I would say a couple things. Well, I was looking at the numbers. There might have been as many as 5 million, maybe more, people that took part in the Black Lives Matter marches around the country this summer. Millions of people took part. 99% of those marches were peaceful and nonviolent. There were a few times, especially right after the killing of George Floyd, that businesses were burned and looted. And that's awful. That's terrible. You didn't see the BLM protesters cheering that looting or participating much in it. And those people who were responsible, at least most of them, not everybody, have been arrested. There have been hundreds of arrests regarding looting of businesses. But I don't think you can compare the looting, let's say, of an auto parts store with trying to break in and kill members of Congress. I don't think the two are quite comparable.
No, they are not comparable. And like the clip you just played from the Republican stating that Robert De Niro wanting to punch someone is also not comparable.
Yeah, yeah, that's no reason not to impeach the president. Yeah, it's ludicrous.
No. Yes, I agree. And I really appreciate you and M&F and all those out there quietly waiting at home. And hopefully we will have a chance to grieve and to move on. But I certainly believe that there needs to be punishment.
Yeah, I think there should be punishment for people that committed crimes, absolutely. Denise, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. Thanks for your kind words, too. That's really nice. Steve in Tampa writes, I would like to pose a question to listeners. What do you believe would have happened if the insurrectionists had located and apprehended Mike Pence or Nancy Pelosi? That's Steve's question out there. Well, we did see the gallows outside the Capitol last week. We did see people with zip ties. We saw several nooses were built around the Capitol last week. I don't know. What do you think would happen? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Miguel in Plant City. Hi, Miguel. You're on M&F. Thank you for calling.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good.
Miguel from Plant City. How are you?
Good. How are you?
My thing is that I want to know, and I also want to understand, why is everybody so perturbed about, you know, basically going into the federal building and claiming that America, you know, should be saved from the left? You know, we are all Americans, you know, and even though I'm a Democrat, and we have Republicans and independent, we're all on this together. You know, we have to define what America is. We really have
to. How would you define what Americans are?
Well, American is for the people that made America. You know, think about it. From the very beginning of, you know, when we were colonizing America, we all know that, you know, we basically brought slaves to work the field. You know, we didn't have any kind of buildings back then. We had a lot of field that we needed to occupy and make it livable. So, you know, even from the very beginning, you know, the Black Americans played an important part in making America what it is. And also, you know, the Chinese, you know, they work on the railroads too. So when, you know, when we go forward into where we are today, America is not just a white America. America is a country for many nationalities, you know, from and the Black Americans, the Latino Americans, the Asian Americans, you know, Native American, Arabs American, you know, these people dish a lot of money into the economy.
And Miguel, I agree. We couldn't eat unless it was for the efforts of people that work the farms, and a lot of those people are Latinos. So I agree with you. We've got to honor everybody who helps make America, America.
Exactly. So America is a melting pot of many nationalities. You know, I remember when I first came here at 12 years old to America, I wasn't even a citizen. And I remember vividly, you know, looking around and seeing the people that was making America great. You know, back then, it was the black Americans that basically ran transportation in New York, and they also taught the local schools there. I was part of a black American community, and I was one of the few Latinos that were in that area. And I was at 115 Grand Concourse, you know, in the Bronx. So, you know, as I look at America and how it started developing, you know, to where we are today, I came across many important people, you know, from the Italian Americans that brought the pizza and all the, you know, Italian food that we enjoy today, and the Greeks, you know, all the bakery and that they have established to make their own little businesses, the Polish, you know, you name it, the French. So all these people have made America great.
Yeah.
You know? And so when I see a small group of hoodlums trying to overtake our federal building and basically trying to kidnap and hurt people because they found bombs in there from, you know, basically being sent there by our president who's supposed to protect us from all of this. Think about it. They think that America is just for white people, and they're wrong.
Yeah, that's so true. So true. Miguel, thank you.
You know?
Yep, I agree. You're making me hungry by bringing up the Italian food.
This democracy and our constitution, we have to teach people exactly history, you know, how we got here, how this democracy, how the Constitution was established, and what are our, you know, this country of laws and regulations, what are we to follow? You know, just because we have Democrats and Republicans, we need to realize that our Constitution guides us and our laws guide us also, and we have to follow it. When we have a president that have violated all these laws and regulations, and throwing fire into this little group of hoodlums, you know, haters, people that don't care about lives. Think about it. Four people die in the federal building.
Yeah.
And these are the people that claiming that we're going to take America back. How could they take America back when America belongs to all the people?
Exactly. Miguel, thanks a lot. Thank you for a great phone call. Thank you for that. Jeff writes this. I've heard this notion that the Trump supporters are kind of white nationalist movement, but I think to some extent it might be just a segment of the population who are just ordinary people who became frustrated with the politics of the establishment, and they became captivated with Trump, who's kind of a political outsider. Do you think these people will go away? I don't think you can just dismiss this problem in America. What do you think the Biden administration will do to deal with the crisis? I do know, just having looked at a lot of photos of people inside the Capitol last week, that there were white nationalists, neo-Nazis, there were these far-right groups that believe that somehow they have a lock on what the Constitution really means, even though they only understand the Second Amendment. They don't understand the rest of the Constitution. I think there might have been some ordinary citizens there, but I think that there were some people who were involved with organized extremist groups, including neo-Nazis and white nationalists. So I do think that we have a problem in this country with economic inequality, but I don't think you solve it by invading the Capitol. I think the Republicans, by and large, don't have much idea or don't have many good ideas about economic equality. DeMarco writes, it's a given that the seeds of white supremacy have been what the governance in the U.S. was sprouted from. Trump is not the originator of U.S. Nazism. He is, however, the person that's caused the sudden growth spurt, writes DeMarco. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'm sorry I didn't get to everybody's phone call and email today. There were hundreds and hundreds of phone calls and emails. But please comment on the comment line. This is WMNF in Tampa. And thanks to Bill Grace. He's been our phone producer today. Stay tuned for the Surly Feminists. They're coming up next here on WMNF in Tampa.